Title: Building Reusable Automation Skeletons Intermediate. All right, welcome back. Today, we're doing something that feels slightly unglamorous, but it's one of those intermediate level workflow upgrades that suddenly makes you finish more music. We're building reusable automation skeletons in Ableton Live, specifically for drum and bass. The goal is to stop redrawing the same filter opens, reverb throws, pre-drop suckouts, and drop impacts in every single project. Because here's the truth. In DNB, automation is the difference between cool 8-bar loop and this is a record. And if you automate from scratch every time, two things happen. One, you lose time. Two, your arrangements start feeling random, because you're reinventing the energy curve every project. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a template you can drop into rollers, jungle switches, even darker neuro-ish stuff. You'll have a consistent 8, 16, 32-bar energy logic. You'll have returns for throws that are always ready. And you'll have group macros that you automate instead of a million device knobs that don't translate when you swap sounds. Let's build it. Step 1. Set up a DNB Ready Sessions skeleton. Set your tempo to something in the classic range, 172 to 176. I'd start at 174, because it's a nice middle ground. Now create three main groups: drums, bass, and music. Inside drums, put separate tracks for kick, snare, hats, break, and perk. Inside bass, make sub, mid bass, and optionally a res or neuro layer. Inside music, make pads or atmos, stabs, and effects. This grouping is not just organization, it's the core idea of reuse. When you automate groups, your automation still makes sense even if you completely replace the kick, the break, or the bass patch. You're automating behaviors, not specific sounds. Now add return tracks. Minimum, return A for reverb throws, return B for delay throws. And optionally return C for parallel crush if you like that heavier, more aggressive control. Cool, that's the skeleton of the session. Step 2, build reusable return FX for throws using stock devices. Let's start with return A, your rev throw. The vibe is clean but big. First device is EQ8. High pass at somewhere around 200 to 350 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. This is one of the most important habits in DNB. Your reverb return does not need low end. Low end in throws is how drops turn into mud. If the reverb ever feels sharp or painful, you can also do a gentle dip around 2 to 4 kHz. Don't overthink it, just keep it smooth. Next, add hybrid reverb. Pick an algorithmic hall. Set decay somewhere around 2.5 to 5.5 seconds. For throws, longer tails are actually useful because they read as transition, not room. Add pre-delay around 15 to 35 milliseconds, so the dry hit stays punchy and the tail blooms after. Set the return to 100% wet. Returns should be fully wet, almost always, because the dry signal lives on the source track. Then add a compressor. For now, set it gently. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds. Release 80 to 200. Later, we can sidechain it from snare or kick to keep throws huge but out of the way. Then put utility at the end. You can widen a bit, maybe 120 to 160%, but be careful. If your reverb disappears in mono, you've overdone it. If you need extra safety, turn on bass mono and set it around 120 Hz. Now, think like an automation designer. What are the targets you want to automate here across every project? Usually it's not the returns dry slash wet, since it's already fully wet. Instead, you automate the send amount from key tracks. But you can also automate hybrid reverb decay for swell moments, or the utility width for widen the throw into the transition moments. Now return B. DLY throw. This is your synced, surgical movement maker. Add echo. Turn sync on. Set time to 1/8 or 1/4. If you want that jungle bounce, try dotted 1/8. Set feedback around 25 to 45%. Then filter it. High pass around 250 Hz. Low pass somewhere between 6 and 10 kHz. We are keeping it controlled, not fizzy. After echo, put in a EQ8 to cut any resonant buildups, and often a little cut around 300 to 600 if it's getting boxy. Add a limiter if you want safety, because feedback automation can surprise you. Automation targets here: feedback ramps for repeat builds, and very occasional time changes for stuttery fills. But be disciplined with time automation. It can sound cool, but it can also sound like the mix is glitching by accident if overused. Step 3. Make macro automation racks on your groups. This is the big workflow unlock. If you automate device parameters everywhere, your automation becomes non-transferable. but if you automate a set of macros, you can keep the same automation performance even when the sounds change. On your drums group, add an audio effect rack and name it drums macro. Inside it, build a simple chain. EQ8 first for tonal shaping, then drum bus for drive and crunch, then saturator with soft clip on for controlled clipping moments, then glue compressor for glue, then utility for width and gain. Now map a few macros, and I want you to think in terms of energy knobs. Macro 1. Drum tone. Map it to a filter frequency or a tilt style move, basically controlling how dark or bright the drum group is. Macro 2. Drum crunch. Map it to drum bus drive and crunch together, but set min and max ranges so you can't destroy the drums with one automation move. Macro 3. Glue amount. Map it to glue threshold with a small range, because subtle is the point. Macro 4. Drum width. Map it to utility width, maybe 100 to 140%. And here's a coach rule that will save you later. Set macro polarity once and keep it consistent. Macro up equals more energy. Up is brighter, more drive, more width, more intensity. If you keep that consistent across every project, your hands learn the system, and your automation becomes fast and musical. Now on the bass group, add another audio effect rack. Name it bass movement. Put EQ8 for cleanup, then auto filter as the main motion control, then saturator for edge, optionally amp or overdrive, and utility for mono control and safety. Map macro 1, bass filter, tied to auto filter frequency. Set a realistic range, maybe minimum 80 to 150 Hz depending on how much you want to shut it down, and maximum somewhere like 2 to 6 kHz depending on the style. For neuro, you might open higher, for rollers, you might keep it more controlled. Macro 2, bass drive, tied to saturator drive, something like 0 to 6 dB. Macro 3, bass width, but be careful. In DNB, width in bass is mostly a mids thing. You don't want wide sub. If you're not doing fancy multi-band, keep width moves conservative and add safety like bass mono. Macro 4 can be sub safety, either utility bass mono, or a gain control that protects the low end, and another coach move. After any macro that changes tone, width, or distortion, consider a safety utility or EQ after it to protect the low end from automation accidents. That's how you keep the skeleton reusable even when the bass patch changes completely. Step 4. Create reusable automation lanes in arrangement view. This is where we write the skeleton. And we're going to write it in musical blocks that DNB listeners feel hard. 8 bars, 16 bars, 32 bars. Pick a standard arrangement grid to work from. Here's a great default. Intro 16 bars, build 8 bars, drop 132 bars. Switch 16 bars, drop to 32 bars, outro 16 bars. Set locators for each section. This sounds like admin work, but it's how you stay fast and consistent. You can even make a blank set that contains only these locators and empty groups and call it a locator skeleton. Now choose automation targets that you will reuse constantly. Open lanes for the macros you mapped. Drum tone, drum crunch, bass filter, bass drive. Then decide what you'll automate for throws. Usually send amounts from snare, vocal stabs, FX, maybe an occasional return decay or delay feedback. Keep master automation minimal. Maybe one utility on the master for tiny gain dips or subtle width moves, but don't turn your master into a roller coaster. The movement should come from groups and returns. Now let's lay down the core automation curves you can copy and paste forever. First, the build. 8 bars. Bass filter gradually opens, like 25% to 70%. Drum tone gets a little brighter, like 40% to 60%. Reverb throw send increases in the last 2 bars, usually on the snare or an FX stab. Delay throw send gets a tiny bump on the last bar, like a little pull forward into the drop. Then, the pre-drop suck. The last half bar. This is the moment where you create negative space so the drop feels bigger without needing more loudness. Slightly tighten drum width. Do a tiny master gain dip, like minus 1 dB right before the drop, and cut the reverb. Either automate the send back to zero or automate the return down. The point is, the drop hits dry and punchy. Then the drop impact. First bar, bass drive gets a quick bump and then settles. Same with drum crunch. Quick bump and back, and keep reverb and delay sends near zero for the first beat so the punch lands clean. Then your switch or fill patterns. 1 to 2 bars, usually every 16 bars. Pick a consistent pattern you can paste. Maybe the delay throw on the snare on bar 16, or quick bass filter dip that feels like a question mark, or a 1 bar low pass sweep on the drums for classic roller tension. And here's a big workflow tip. Consistency equals pro. If you have a switch automation pattern you paste every 16 bars, your arrangement feels intentional even when your sound design is changing. Now some extra coach notes that make this system actually usable at 3 a.m. Name your automation like a system, not a vibe. Use a consistent prefix, like auto, build, bass open or auto, pre-drop, sock core auto, switch, delay ping. It's boring, and it's incredible, because later, when you're copying from an older project, you can actually find what you need. Another advanced idea, create a single intensity lane and derive everything from it. Add a macro called intensity, 0 to 100, on a top-level rack, maybe on a dedicated track or even on the master. Map it to multiple destinations with conservative ranges, a little drum saturation, a little transient tightening, bass filter opens slightly, return sends boost only near the top end. Then you automate one lane, and your whole energy arc becomes consistent by design. And if you want to go even more portable, use dummy clips as an envelope library. Arrangement automation doesn't always travel nicely unless you copy full tracks. So create a MIDI track called Auto Clips. Put an audio effect rack with 8 macros on it. Map those macros to key destinations across your set. Then create session view clips with clip envelopes for those macros. Now your build pattern is literally a clip you drag into any set. Step 5. Store skeletons as reusable assets. This is the payoff moment. You've done the work once, and now you stop repeating yourself. Option A. Save the whole thing as a template set. File. Save live set as template. Name it something obvious, like DNB Auto Skeleton 174 template. Option B. Save modular bits. Save the drums group with its rack as a group preset. Save returns by dragging them into your user library. This is great if you already have a favorite starting template but want to import your automation system. Option C. If you built the auto clip system, save those clips so your envelopes travel as a library. Now, quick checklist of common mistakes to avoid. First, automating too deep. If you automate 15 knobs on individual tracks, you cannot reuse it. Automate macros, not chaos. Second, no macro min and max limits. Without ranges, one automation curve can ruin a mix. Harsh highs, flabby low end, crushed drums, make it hard to break. Third, over-automating the master. Tiny, subtle moves are fine, but most movement should live on groups and returns. Fourth, low end and reverb throws. High pass first. Every time, this audio version is shortened for playback.